सो एक दंताय विद्महे वक्रतुंडाय धीमहि. सो वी मेडिटेट अपॉन दैट वन टस्क लॉर्ड हूज ट्रंक इज वक्र, इज नॉट रियली क्रूकेड बट इट इज ऑन वन साइड और द अदर साइड. इट्स नॉट स्ट्रेट ट्रंक बट इट कम्स डाउन एंड देन लाइक एन एल, यू नो, इट गोज ऑन वन साइड और द अदर. So that is called Vakratunda, which means the trunk that is always ready for work. So Ganpati Bhagwan is always ready. If it is straight, then that means it is waiting. But when it is on the side, that means it is always ready. And we meditate on that. How should we meditate? We'll talk about that. And Tam Naha. So that Ganpati Naha to us, it is the sixth case to us, Dantihi, that one with the one tusk, Prachodayat, may it always inspire us, may it encourage us to do our best. So three names of Bhagwan Ganpati are used. One is the one tusk, then the one that his trunk is on the side, and Dantihi, the one with one tusk, again Prachodayat. May he inspire us. So the idea is that the wisdom, you know, my knowledge should turn to wisdom. One is I just have the knowledge. Another one is I actually bring it into my life. And when I improve my life, then only the knowledge becomes wisdom. So that's what they say. One should not just only study the scriptures, but bring them into our life. Whether it's Bhagavad Gita, whether it's whatever we are studying, the Upanishads and so on. But may it transform my life, then only it is worthwhile. And when we chant it, it should not be done mechanically, Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha, because it is a Jivha Avatar. That means Ganpati Bhagwan has manifested on my tongue as an avatar. So when I chant, it should be done with full attention, not just rapidly, you know, Om Ajaya Namaha, Avyaya Namaha, when we are doing Gurudev's names. Each name should be chanted with meaning, with understanding. And that's how the chanting should be done. And also one should visualize the Lord. One should not do mechanically. So how do we visualize Ganpati Bhagavan? So not only in the Mula Dhara, in the base chakra, but Ganpati should be visualized as an active Bhagwan, not just sitting there passively. So as you visualize, one is you can visualize as the formless, as the all-pervading reality. The second way to visualize is that visualize the form of Ganpati, not only confined to the Mula Dhara, but my entire body is covered, and it let it grow till the form fills the whole cosmos. And whichever form of the Lord, whether it's Shri Krishna or Shiva or whatever, when you visualize the form, visualize it as a huge, active, dynamic form, and I am a tiny speck in that. Otherwise, we have such a strong body identification that I am, you know, this or I am that. So how do we reduce the body identification by visualizing as something very active, grand? And it is said to be red. We'll talk about red in the next shloka. And they say when you visualize the form, don't be conjuice. Don't be a miser. Like when we do Shiv Manas Puja, we say Ratne Kalpitam Asanam, that the seat I have made for you, Lord Shiva, when I'm inviting you, it is a golden seat filled with jewels. You know, and then when you say that, Sovarne Navaratna Khanda Rachite, and the food I am offering to Bhagwan Shiva is also in a plate which is made of gold with all kind of precious jewels, and 25 different kinds of food I am offering to Lord Shiva. So the idea is that when you worship the Lord, especially when you're doing mentally, you can offer him anything. You know, you can offer him a seat, you can offer him all kinds of food. And then he says, and I also visualize all dancers and everything. So that's what they say. So there's a story that there were these two girls who were playing on the beach. The older and the younger were like 8 and 6. And the older girl said, "I'm the mother and you have to be the father." So the little girl is told, "You have to be the father." So she says, "Okay." So she comes home from work. "What is to eat?" You know, she talks like a father. So mother says, "Today morning's roti, yesterday's sabji, and some chutney which was getting spoiled," and she gives her some sand. So the girl throws the sand. She says, "Even in sand, you can't do better." He says, "What do you mean?" She said, "You should have said two garam garam samosa and garam chai and garam pakode and garam gulab jamun. When you're offering sand, you can call it anything. Why be conjugal in that?" So same way, when we are doing the Lord Shiv Manas Puja or any Lord's Manas Puja, be generous. Whatever the Lord wants, I am ready to give. So this is one. Now we'll do the form, meditating on the form of the Lord. Ambika, do you want to repeat, please? Ekadantam chaturhastam pashamankushadharinam.
Ekadantam
Radam cha varadam hastair bibhranam mushakadhvajam.
Radam
Raktam lambodaram shurpakarnakam raktavasasam.
Raktam lambodaram
Rakta gandhanu liptangam rakta pushpai
shurpakarnakam raktavasasam. Raktagandhanu liptangam raktapushpesu pujitam.
suppujitam. Bhaktanukampinam devam jagat karanam
Bhaktanukampinam devam jagat karanam achyutam.
Avirbhutancha srishtyadau prakrite purushat
Avirbhutam cha srishtyadau prakrute purushat
param. Evam dhyayati yo nityam sa yogi yoginam varaha.
Evam dhyayati yo nityam sa yogi yoginam varaha.
Yeah, so this talks about the form of Bhagwan Ganpati ji. So he says, Ekadantam, one tusk. And we all know the story, but we'll just talk about the meaning of one tusk. And Chaturhastam, and Bhagwan Ganpati has four hands. And what does he have in each hand? So Pashama Ankushadharinam. Pashama means the rope, the noose with which he pulls us, and Ankush is called goad, GOAD. It is what the mahout uses to control the elephant. It is a little sharp piece of stone with which he controls the elephant. And what is the significance of that, we'll study. Radham means that which makes us fearless. So he has two more hands, one holding the pasha, second, the Ankusha. Third is Radham, which is fearless, which is gives, which also some of the forms of Ganpati show him holding that broken tusk with which he wrote the Mahabharata. And then Varadham means the fourth hand gives us blessings. So sometimes it is shown as empty, or sometimes it is shown as holding Modak. You know, the Modak, the sweet laddus with which gives us, the Lord Ganpati gives us happiness. Hastaihi bibhranam. So in his hand he has these, and he's wielding these four things in his hand. And Mushaka Dhvajam, so his pataka, the flag on top of Ganpati, is Mushaka. It is a mouse. And what is the significance of mouse, we'll study. And then raktam means red color. The red color of Ganpati is like when you put a steel in the fire and leave it for a long time, how it starts blazing and becomes red hot, that is the color of Ganpati. That is the original color. Lambodaram means he has a big stomach. Shurpakarnakam, his ears are like scuttle. Scuttle means it is the bamboo tray. We'll talk about that. Shurpakarnakam, Raktavasasam, and his clothes are also red. Generally, Ganpati has a lower cloth covering his lower body. Some pictures of Ganpati have two piece, you know, lower and upper body, but the majority only covers his lower body, and the upper, the chest and his trunk is decorated beautifully. And how is it decorated? Rakta Gandha Anuliptangam. So his body is decorated beautifully with red sandalwood. Red sandalwood. Anuliptangam. It is beautifully covered. How? Rakta, and like in a red color, Rakta, Rakta Gandha. And Rakta Pushpaihi Supujitam. Supujitam means he is very well worshipped with red flowers. That's his favorite, the red color. And who is he? He says he is Bhakta Anukampinam. Bhakta means to us devotees. Anu means constantly. Kampinam. So constantly he is compassionate towards us. And he is the Devam. Devam means the God of all gods. Also, Guruji in his commentary uses the word Devam as self-effulgent. That who is self-effulgent, who is the source of all the energy. And Jagat Karanam, and he is the cause of the universe. And Achyutam. Achyutam means he never falls down from his original high state. And then he says, Avirbhutam. Avirbhutam means he has manifested cha, and he has manifested how? Srishti Adav. So it becomes Srishti Adav. Means Adav means before Srishti. So before this whole universe came into being, even the first time, he was there even before the Srishti manifested. So he is the origin of Srishti. And he is Prakritehe Purushat Param. So he is beyond Purusha and Prakriti, because the whole universe is made of combination of Purush and Prakriti, matter and spirit. So spirit and matter. So he is beyond both. He's beyond matter, beyond spirit. And evam dhyayati, and one who meditates on Ganpati in this way, as we said, the active form which is filling the entire cosmos and in which I am a tiny little speck. Yaha, yo means yaha, one who meditates. Yaha means anybody, male, female, young, old. That's a generic pronoun. Yaha, one who meditates nityam. Nityam means meditation should be done constantly. Remembering the Lord should be a constant activity. That's why Gurudev was asked, how long should I meditate a day? He said 24 hours, which means constantly my mind should be centered upon the Lord. Saha yogi, that yogi, yogi nam varaha, he is the best of all yogis, one who meditates on the Lord constantly. So how do we meditate? So first we said that he is stationed in the Kundalini, and Kundalini goes upward as you meditate upon it, and the Mooladhara Chakra is red with four petals. And when you chant the name of the Lord or meditate, think he is in front of you, not somewhere distant, but visualize the Lord in front of us. That is called upasana. That is how we reduce the body identification. And then it is said that it should be done with the idea that my mind and intellect are very tiny compared to the infinite intellect of the Lord. That's why in Hanuman Chalisa it is said, Buddhihin Tanujani ke Sumiro Pavana Kumar. So Tanujani ke, one who thinks I am the body is Buddhihin. He may have done a double PhD. He may be a PhD in theology and philosophy and professor in the university. But if he thinks I am this body, Tulsidas ji says he's buddhihin. His buddhi is very tiny. So that is the idea. Then Ekadantam, there are two stories. One story everybody knows, when Ved Vyas ji was dictating, Ganpati ji was asked to write. And it said the nib of his pen broke, so he broke one tusk to continue writing because that was the condition. Ved Vyas, he said, I will talk, you have to write constantly. Second story is that when Ganpati was fighting the Asuras, he used all his weapons and the Asuras were still in large number, so he broke one tusk and made that into a multitasking weapon and destroyed all the Asuras. Ekadantam also means he's beyond duality, beyond the pair of opposites. See, when there are two tusks of the elephant, that means it's duality. So when we focus on two, our mind tends to wander. So when you focus on one, that is the non-dual Brahman, that is Ekadantam. And then Chaturhastam, four hands are always shown of Ganpati Bhagwan. In one, he has the pasham, he has the noose by which he pulls us towards him. So when we go away from God, he uses that to pull us, and he can come in the form of the guru or form of, scriptures to bring us to him. Ankusha is the goad which the mahout controls the elephant with a little strong stone, which he controls the movement so that the elephant follows directions. So why do we need a goad? Because our mind is like that. It wanders here and there, everywhere. So to make the mind single-pointed and focus it in the right direction, Ganpati Bhagwan uses the goad to focus our mind. Because when we are listening, we are BP and MA. Body present, but mind absent most of the time. So he says, when your body is here, your mind should be here. That's why Gurudev says, keep your mind where your hands are working. Or in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Shanai Shanai Upar Met, Yat Yat Charati Man. So as the mind wanders, bring it back in the sixth chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us. So the idea is that my mind should be disciplined, controlled, and focused on the Lord and Lord alone, nothing else. Radham means makes us fearless. How does it make us fearless? Because I only have fear of another. Dvaitam bhayam bhavati. When there are two, I am afraid of. When I am me alone, I have no fear. So similarly, God makes us realize that there is one non-dual reality, and that is me, and that's how it makes us fearless. And then Varadam, he's always full of blessings, always full of giving us all kinds of boons. Whatever I have is given by the Lord. So that's why it is said, Varadam, one who gives us all kinds of boons. And Modak represents that. Modak represents sweets, represents happiness, represents joy. So the Lord can only give us joy when he himself is of the nature of joy. That's why they say, na, Sachidanand Rupaya Vishvotpatyadi Hetave Tapatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Numa. So we bow down to Shri Krishna, who is of the nature of Sat Chit Anand, bliss. So similarly, Ganpati Bhagwan is of the nature of bliss, Sat Chit Anand. And so in the hand, so we already covered his four hands. Then he says, Mushaka Dvajam, his flag is the Mushaka, the mouse. Why the mouse? Because the mouse represents the mind. See, like if you see a squirrel, it will roam around, but then stop for a while. But the mouse, have you ever seen it stop? No, it's constantly running, running, running here and there. So our mind is like a mouse that is restless, constantly running. and not focused on one thing and also filled with a lot of negativity. That's why they say, thank God Bhagwan didn't put an LCD screen where person could see all our thoughts, but then we would have no friends in this world. So he has covered our thoughts so that people don't know what we are thinking. So that's what they say, that the mind that is focused in one direction and streaming in one direction is Bandhur Atmanastasya. Bhagwan says in the Gita, our friend, a mind that is focused becomes a friend. A mind that is wandering in the sense objects becomes our enemy. So the idea is that I should have clarity in my mind and my goal should be clear. What is my goal in this life? And most people think material success is the goal, you know, acquire as much as possible, get, and that is success. You know, if I have a big car, a big house, that's all necessary, but that is not the true definition of success. That is not the goal. And in Reader's Digest, there was a beautiful quote a few years back. It says, we are climbing the ladder of success our whole life, climb, climb, climb. And when we reach the top rung, we realize the ladder is on the wrong wall. So I have climbed my whole life, but on the wrong wall. And that's what happens. We put in so much effort, and then when I turn 65, 70, or AR, I wasted my time. I have been climbing on the wrong. So make spiritual success, true success, not material success. And how will that happen? A mind that is free of dirt, all the negativities, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, and all, and a mind that is convinced of the goal. So with the right conviction and with the clarity of the mind and purity of the mind, such a mind you can be victorious over. So when do we fly the flag? When there is victory, right? When there is victory, then they fly the flag when they have, say, conquered a country. So when he's flying the flag of mouse, means he has conquered his mind. And may Ganpati bless us so that we may also be able to control our mind. We may also be able to be successful in conquering our mind. And raktam, we talked about, red like a burning iron. Lambodaram means one who has a big stomach. What does that mean, big stomach? Of course, one stomach only doesn't mean one who can eat a lot, but one who can stomach all kinds of difficulties and problems that may come in life. Because problems come to everybody, but what one has to understand that instead of blaming somebody else, all my problems are coming because of my karmas. So that clear understanding should be there. And that is called Lambodaram, that whatever the problems the life throws at me, I am ready to handle them. Then only am I a devotee of Ganpati. Then only I am a devotee of Bhagwan. So Lambodaram, he's able to stomach. You know, they say, oh, he doesn't have the stomach for it. That means he's not able to handle life's problem. So that is called Lambodaram. And Shurpa Karnakam, his ears are like scuttle, Guruji says. Scuttle, scuttle means the bamboo tray. In the olden days, when they used to separate the wheat from the stones and from the grain, from the chaff, you know, from that, what they used to do, use that scuttle, you know, like that bamboo tray, move it up and down, and first all the husk separates out, and so they clean out the husk. And then the ladies keep lifting that with two hands, and then the stones and rocks separate from the grains. You know, they throw it up and down. First, the husk is separated, then the grain is separated, and finally, the stones are thrown away. So, here, and also Shurpanakha, you know, in Ramayana, she had nails which were big like Shurpas. So Shurpanakha or Shurpakarnakam, here it means is that may my ears be large like that bamboo tray, what it means is that may I listen with full attention. So when something is spoken to me, may I listen with attention. May I get all the details. May my mind not wander. May I absorb that knowledge and then bring it into my life. So it shows that I should listen more than I should hear. That's why we even told the students, we are given 2 ears and 1 mouth. The idea is I should listen twice as much as I speak. So that is the idea of 2 ears and 1 mouth. Shurpa Karnakam. And then Rakta Vasasam, because red is his favorite color. So when you dress Ganpati Bhagwan, you dress him in red clothes. Rakta Vasasam, that is his favorite color. And that is what you bring for him. In most pictures, he is wearing red, though nowadays they have yellow and all different colors also. Then Rakta Gandha Anuliptangam. So his body is covered by Rakta Gandha. Gandha means sandalwood. So it's not red sandalwood, because red sandalwood is very rough. It is used in construction. It is the yellow sandalwood, but it is colored with kumkum. So it is that fragrant, soft sandalwood colored with kumkum makes again it red, because that's his favorite color. And they say when you smear, suppose you have an idol of Ganpati, don't just smear all over, but decorate him with full attention, like when you're doing your makeup, you know, the bindi and then the lipstick and then all the, you know, all the whatever the decorations are done. So same way when we are decorating Bhagwan carefully on his, you know, trunk and then on the forehead and on the chest, it should be done with this yellow kumkum colored with yellow sandalwood, colored with kumkum. And with full attention, the Lord should be decorated properly. Then, Rakta Pushpaihi Supujitam. Supujitam means he is very well worshipped with red flowers. So, when I have seen many times people doing puja and they throw the flowers at Bhagwan, they throw the flowers, they throw the akshata. They say, how would you like if you are standing and somebody is throwing flowers and akshata at you? It should never be thrown. It should be offered with the hand up, hand pointing up, you know, with the palm up, because Bhagwan is up. When you have your palm down, that means you are giving a gift to somebody or giving dakshina. So flowers should be offered gently with the palm up, with an attitude of respect, never thrown, whether it's flowers, whether it's akshata, it should never be thrown at Bhagwan. Offer with Shraddha. And then offer in a decorative fashion. You know, decorate around if you have a decorative mind. Don't just keep piling the flowers. Sometimes you pile them so high that Bhagwan is covered and you ask, kaha hai Bhagwan? He says, honge kahi andar, you know, where is God? He says, maybe he's inside somewhere, he's lost. No. God has to be the main focus and should always be decorated in such a way that God is the focus, not covered in flowers, not thrown flowers, done respectfully. And the chanting should be done slowly with bhava. If you know the meaning of each word, it's good. Even if you don't know the meaning, 108 names, each one of us is God's name, each one of those. So chant them slowly, chant them with bhava, not in a hari om, ganeshaya, namaha, om, not like that, but with attention, with carefully chanted. And then also in Supujitam, they also say that the panchamritam that you offer to the Lord should not be directly from the fridge. You know, you don't bring milk or water, ice cold. And how many people here like to take bath with ice cold water? Anyone? No. Then why are we bathing Bhagwan with ice cold water and ice cold milk? Don't do that. They say warm up the milk, warm up the water, and then offer, because you are bathing Bhagwan. And suppose there is a newborn Sri Krishna, you know, in Janamashtami. He's newborn, and then you're putting ice cold milk on the poor baby. You know what? So think the Lord is right in front of you, and you are actually not, it's not a piece of stone or some stone idol or a metal idol. It is Lord Himself here in the form of Ganpati. So the Panchamritam should be properly offered, the flower should be properly given. And he says, Bhakta Anukampinam. He is always compassionate on his bhaktas. And he's Devam. He's self-effulgent. Talking about compassionate, there's a beautiful story. It's not in any Puranas, but there's a story. It says, Naradji went to Vishnu Bhagwan, to the Lord, and he says, can I have a name of 20 people who love you? So Vishnu Bhagwan said, okay. So he punched the button on the computer, gad, 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 the list came out in his printer, 20 names of those who love the Lord, and Naradji was on top, and Hanumanji was nowhere. So Naradji takes the list to Hanumanji. He says, see this list of 20 people who love the Lord. I am on top, and where are you? You are nowhere. So Hanumanji says, yes, I am not there. But he said, did you ask him for a second list? He said, what second list? He said, go ask him. He has a second list. So Naradji goes back to Vishnu. He says, you didn't give me, tell me about the second list. Vishnu Bhagwan says, wait, wait, wait. You asked me for the list of those who love God, love me, right? So I gave you the list. He says, what is the second list? So he printed a second list. 10 whom I love the most. And Hanumanji was on top there. So, you know, there are some who say, I love God, but does God love you? That is the most important. So that's what he says. He is the one that always loves his devotees. He's ever compassionate to them. And Jagat Karanam, because the cause always comes before the effect. You know, like the mud is there before the pot, the gold is there before the ornaments. So Ganpati is the cause of this entire cosmos, which is the effect. So the cause comes before the effect. That's why he says, Avirbhutam Srishti Adav. Before Srishti's creation, Ganpati ji manifested. And he is the cause of this universe, the creator of this universe, and also the sustainer and the destroyer of this universe. Whatever is old is recycled. That is Ganpati Bhagwan. And he is Achyutam. Achyutam means never falls. That's one of Sri Krishna's name. Chyutam means one who has fallen from his height, but Ganpati Bhagwan is Achyutam, means never falls, always remains the supreme. And that is the substratum of this whole universe, that on which the universe is sustained. That is Ganpati Bhagwan. And he is beyond Prakriti and Purusha. So Purusha is the spirit, Prakriti is matter. So this whole universe is a combination of Purush and Prakriti, matter and spirit. But Ganpati Bhagwan was there even before this whole universe manifested. That's why in Sankhya Yoga, they say that there are two independent factors, Prakriti and Purush. But in Vedanta, we say Purusha alone appears as this Prakriti, as an illusion. So he is even beyond Purusha, even beyond Prakriti. He is the substratum of both. And evam dhyayati yo nityam. So meditation should be done on the Lord eternally, constantly, means constantly keep our attention on the Lord. Whatever I am doing, whether I am working, whether I am cooking, whether I am cleaning, I am doing God's work. So one who meditates on God in such a way, the yogi, yogi nam varaha, he is the most supreme of all yogis. And Guruji in his commentary gives a very beautiful story They said there was a Ram Bhakta and there was a Ganpati Bhakta. And each one was saying, oh, I am superior. I am superior. My God is superior. So the Ganpati Bhakta said, tells Ram Bhakta, can you manifest Sri Ram? So he manifests and meditates, and Sri Ram appears. He says, see, Sri Ram is right here. Then the Ganpati devotee, he manifests and he becomes one with Ganpati. So the ultimate meditation is the oneness that God and I are one. There is one consciousness alone, manifesting as me, manifesting as all, and manifesting as the entire universe. So that is the supreme devotion. That's again in Raman Maharishi ji in Sat Darshanam says that supreme devotion is to become God's food, you know, become his food. What does that mean? When we eat food, we eat and we swallow it, and ultimately food becomes one with us. There is no separation. So similarly, he says that when you pray to God, or when you meditate on God, or when you are working even in the world, become one with God, become God's food, means I am not separate from God. So that oneness is the non-dual in Vedanta, what we call as Advayam, that it is non-dual, that one consciousness alone is manifesting. So everything is me, and I am everything. I means again, not I with this form, but I as the indicated I, that indicator, what is called Lakshyartha and Vachyartha. Vachyartha is what I can see, this body, mind, and intellect. And Lakshyartha is what is indicated by I. So what is indicated by I is that one supreme consciousness, and one who meditates on God in such a way, whether it's form or formless. With formless, of course, there is one all-pervading, but even form, I should not keep that form as somebody separate from me, but merge my ego, merge my identity in that supreme reality. So worship, whether it's form or formless, ultimately leads to oneness. As long as there is separation, my puja is incomplete, my meditation is incomplete, my worship is incomplete, even my service is incomplete if I am thinking I am separate from God. So they say that oneness, the non-dual, is the true bhakti, is the true worship, is the true meditation. So here we'll end, and then next week I'll try to finish. There is a little more about Ganpati Bhagwan, and then what
Yes,
is
sir.
the Phalashruti? What is the fruit of remembering God? If we can finish next week, or it may go a little bit into the following. I'll try to finish it next week. Next week will be the Tuesday after Memorial Day. So that's will be the hopefully the last class, or maybe one in the first week of June. But I'll try to finish it as much as possible, because most of this is just what are the Phalashruti, what is the benefit of remembering God or praying to God or meditating upon God. So we'll see how there's quite a few shlokas. We'll see if we can finish next week or the week after. We have a few minutes. Anybody has any questions, comments? Neeru, anything else?
Yeah, the four hands also represents the four purusharthas.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
four purusharthas, you know, the dharma, artha, kama, moksha,
Right.
righteousness, and then wealth or security, pleasure and comfort, kama, and then liberation for moksha.
Yes, thank
So
you.
that.
Yeah,
And
so
one more, the red color also is the color of love.
yes.
So Swamiji says that. May we, oh Lord, may we love you as you love us. So this is what.
Thank you. Yeah. So the four Purusharthas, Neeru explained. So what they mean is that when I do Kama and Artha, I should do with Dharma. So when I am enjoying, indulging in sense pleasures or acquiring wealth, it should be done with Dharma, with the right attitude. And my ultimate goal should not be those three, Dharma, Artha, Kama. Those are necessary for survival in this world. But my main goal should be the fourth one, moksha, the liberation from the cycle of birth and death. So that is, should be the ultimate goal of the four Purusharthas. Thank you for that.
And his vehicle is also mouse. I don't know if you mentioned.
I mentioned that the mind,
mouse, yeah,
mouse
because
in that.
Mouse, and they say because it's he that represents insignificant also.
Yes.
He
Right.
can become his mouse.
Right.
So may we, the Lord, make us your vehicle and may we serve you in our own small way.
Yeah, thank you. So I am insignificant, Lord. May I be of service, just as he has elevated the mouse to be his vehicle. And all the gods have chosen different birds or animals as their vehicle, means we should respect all, not try to destroy the living beings, but respect and worship all as manifestation of God. So that's why, like Shivji has the bull, and Saraswati ji has swan, and so on. So same way Ganpati ji has mouse, that means he has elevated the insignificant to the significant, made it his vehicle, and he himself becomes very light. Even though he is heavy like an elephant, when he's riding on the mouse, he becomes very light. Yeah, Moini auntie, you have question or comment?
I don't understand Shurpanakha. That I missed, I think.
Oh,
I was
Shurpanakha,
writing.
Because she had her nails were big like Shurpas. Her nails were very long and they were just growing. Shurpa is the bamboo.
Yeah, well, how is it associated with this Ganesha's description?
Oh, yes, I use the word Shurpa to explain. It has nothing to do with Ganesha. Shurpanakha,
okay.
In the Ramayana, she's mentioned as her nails were like Shurpa. No, it has nothing to do with Ganpati ji, but because he is Shurpa Karnakam, because his ears are big like Shurpa. What is Shurpa?
Okay.
Shurpa is that scuttle, that bamboo tray that the ladies use to separate.
Okay.
That is Shurpa.
Thank you. I got it now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just mentioned that because that comes in Ramayana, that he has Shurpa Nakha. Her nails were so big, they were like Shurpas. Maybe she never cut her nails, I don't know, or grew them in particular way, or maybe she bought those nail extenders. Who knows? Why she had Shurpanakha. Any other questions? Yeah, Carrie, you can unmute, please.
You know, you were talking about Ganesha eating the person, that the devotee, you know, so they're like incorporated kind of like food. How would you interpret that, like if you were worshiping a formless god?
Formless the same way, because formless means all pervading. When it's all pervading, there's nothing, there's only one. There cannot be two formless. Formless means infinite. When it is infinite, there cannot be two infinities. There is only one infinite. And so then I obviously cannot be separate from that. The finite can never be separate from the infinite. If the finite is separate, then the infinite is no longer infinite. It gets limited. When it is infinite, formless, then it is limitless. It is everywhere, all pervading. So when it is all pervading, then there cannot be two. There cannot be separate. So there can be only, like in space, there is only one space, even though we divide it into room space, part space, total space, and so on, but there is only one space, appears divided. So one infinite appears divided in all these finite people, all these finite entities. Just as one mud appears divided in all parts, one golden appears divided in all ornaments. So similarly, one infinite appears as many finites. So there is no two. The moment you say infinite, then there cannot be two. That is Advaita. No Dvaita, no two.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Hansa Ben, any question?
Yes, so Vishnu Bhagwan did not have any, just that cobra or whatever that form he has.
No, he has Garuda. He has the eagle. He has the Garuda Bhagwan that he flies on.
Okay.
He lays on that, on the snake.
Snake, okay.
Yeah. But he flies on Garuda. That is his Vahana. That's why he can move rapidly and take care of the whole universe. And there's another thing. He says the reason he's sleeping in Kali Yuga, because there are no devotees that he has to take care of. There is no devotee like Hanumanji. Wow. He's sleeping because aisa koi hai nahi whom he should take care of. He said nature will take care of them, but he only takes care of special devotees. So in Kali Yuga, he can't find any. So that's why he's sleeping. That was another story that somebody told, that he's sleeping because he said there is no devotee like Hanumanji.
And Ram and Krishna came as a human avatar, so that's why they don't have it.
Right. They came as human avatars to take care of this universe. Yes, they came as humans. But all the other gods have, like Kartikeya has peacock, like that. And then Mother Durga has tiger, like that. All of them have some.
And Brahma didn't need any.
Brahmaji has also. He also has. I think swan only he has. I'm not sure. Brahmaji has. I think so. Anybody knows Brahmaji's vehicle? He has a vehicle too. I think swan. Not sure. I'll have to look it up. We can Google.
I thought he was swan.
Yeah, swan, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Brahmaji is a swan. Saraswati Devi also is swan. Yeah.
What is the page of today?
Page 25 in the Vedic chants, in the book of Vedic chants. Page 25, shloka number 6, 7, 8, 9. No, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? We can close. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you, Hari Om. See you next Tuesday.